Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone, welcome back to another edition of the Skating Penguin Network Mailbag here at the Skating Penguin Network. I am Garrett Bahana. Alongside me are my two co-hosts, Robbie and Snail. We have some more questions this week. This will be part one of this week's mailbag, and part two will come at you later in the week as we creep into November and creep ever closer to, as Robbie likes to say, American Thanksgiving. So with that said, let's dive straight into it. Question number one goes to Robbie. Snail will get question number two. I will take question number three, and we will rotate until all questions in part one are answered. Question one comes from Brian. Robbie, do you want to see Tristan Jarry stop playing the puck so much and focus more on his positioning and tracking of the puck? We've seen goalies who can play the puck be a big advantage, but it seems like every time Jarry does something with the puck, something bad tends to happen.
So before I do answer this question, I want to open with by sending our thoughts and condolences to Adam Johnson, the former Penguin slash AHLer, NHLer that passed away over the weekend playing in England. If you've not heard it by now, you surely will hear about it here. In the next couple of days, he suffered a tragic accident on the ice on Saturday evening in the UK and passed away due to his injuries. If you are someone that wants to see the video, I highly suggest that you just try to avoid it at all costs. It is gruesome. It is very bad, and it is unfortunate. There is a video of his only NHL goal coming with the Penguins back in 2019. It's kind of a now living memory of his career, but we do send our condolences to Adam Johnson and his entire family for the unfortunate situation that went everything that took place this weekend in the UK. But moving past that, the question about Tristan Jarry, the problem with Jarry playing the puck is that he's very good at it. And sometimes I think he might get a little too overconfident with the puck. He has had a long list of brain farts when playing the puck, most famously in the playoffs against the New York Islanders back in, I believe, 2021. I like a goalie that can play the puck skillfully. I'd like them to play the puck within themselves. And sometimes Jarry just gets a little too overzealous with it. So if they can find a happy medium ground between not playing the puck and staying in the crease and playing the puck and advancing, helping the offense, then that would be my ideal situation. He just gets a little too frisky when the puck gets on his stick, and that tends to lead to a bad turnover, which leads to a scoring chance against, which sometimes leads to a goal. So if we can somehow find a happy medium between the two, that's where I think I'd prefer to see Jarry, because he does have the skill to play the puck. It's just about reining in his confidence once he has it, make the smart play rather than the fancy one. Just help the offense break out rather than go for a puck up the ice assist or something like that. Just focus on getting the puck to a defenseman and helping the breakout. Question number two from Ryan again here. I understand the logistics, but does anyone get super annoyed by television blackouts? You can watch every other game on ESPN Plus, but your local one. Why can't ESPN work out a deal with all the regional sports networks so blackouts aren't a thing?
I don't know why. I wish they'd figure it out, because it's super annoying. Also, I live in Seattle. I can watch Kraken games on ESPN Plus, but I can't watch when the Penguins play the Columbus Blue Jackets. I can't watch Columbus games for some reason. It makes no sense. That's probably just more of a glitch on my end, but I wish that they would figure this out, because it's like... I don't really know why they do blackouts. I used to have the assumption that it was to get you to go to games. Like, have you guys ever heard that? Like, they black out your local team on TV because they want you to actually pay for a ticket and go watch the team. But from what I've seen online, I've never even seen... I don't know where I heard that. I've literally heard that one time, and I'm like, that's why. But I don't know. It's super annoying. I feel like the era we live in right now, it's just like, let's figure out the blackout thing and just get these games. People just want to watch the games at home. People want to watch their home team from the comfort of their couch. So I don't know. Let's figure it out. It's super annoying. You guys can't watch Penguins games on ESPN Plus at home?
I don't think
Garrett,
so.
Do you even watch Penguins games? Do you watch hockey?
I don't know what the Penguins... I thought the Penguins were a species of flightless birds. But the blackout question... Here's what I will say.
Do you ever turn on ESPN... Do you have ESPN Plus, Garrett?
Yeah, I do.
You do? Okay, have you ever turned it on and you can't watch the Penguins?
I don't know if there's been a scenario where the Penguins, like, they're playing... Most of their games are televised on the regional sports network, which is Sportsnet Pittsburgh. So I don't think there's ever been a scenario where I've tried to turn on ESPN Plus to see if I was blacked out by some form or fashion.
Okay. So you would just turn it to, you're like, I don't know, if you have cable, you just turn your TV to channel 13 or something, and that's where you watch the game? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, but like, to your point, I think eventually what you're going to see is teams go the direct-to-consumer route. And I think we've talked about it before. I think eventually you're going to see teams charge $7.99 a month or $9.99 a month, and they'll give you like a season pass. Because, yeah, you're in Seattle, and I mean, Robbie and I are in the viewing area, the viewing region, where we wouldn't have to use ESPN Plus to watch Penguin games because we have access to the regional sports network. But for Penguins fans out of state or Penguins fans who cut the cord, I know some people who use YouTube TV and the regional sports network isn't on YouTube TV. So how would they watch Penguins games if they don't have cable, if they cut the cord, if they can't see it on ESPN Plus? Eventually, I think you're going to see teams go the DTC route, charge a monthly rate or a yearly rate or a semi-yearly rate, and then you'd be able to watch all of the non-exclusive games. Sometimes you get games on the big networks like TNT or ABC or whatever. All the other home games and away games that are broadcast on the regional sports network, I think eventually you'll see them start charging a monthly rate to access those games.
So, yeah, I think Vegas does the direct to consumer. They have an app you can download and you can just stream it on your laptop, TV, smart TV, phone. I hope that's the way of the future. It just sounds, it's the way that things are trending. That's the convenient way to just pay for another subscription, another app, and just get access. Don't have to miss a single game.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Robbie, sorry. Did you have anything to contribute to that? I kind of turned that over to both of you, but no. Okay. Question number three from Brian. Can you boys tell me from your Halloween candy research what the heck is different about Reese's Pieces and peanut butter M&Ms?
Snail, it sounds like you've never had a peanut butter M&M.
A peanut butter M&M.
It's different from a peanut M&M.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's why I was confused. So it's like a crossover of the two.
It's peanut butter inside the M&M.
Okay, let me.
Well, first off, they're two different companies.
Wait, really? Wait. Oh, well,
is it by Reese's?
Reese's Pieces is Reese's. Peanut butter M&Ms are M&Ms. That's Hershey's and Mars candy. So the difference is they're just two different companies. I can't say much for taste or anything like that, but it boils down to Reese's Pieces is made by Hershey and peanut butter M&Ms is by Mars, who does M&Ms. That's the difference. There's no, I mean, they're just two different companies.
Taste wise though, there is a difference in taste.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember the last time I had either of them, so I can't really say much for taste, but I'm sure there is a taste difference, but I mean, they are not by the same company. So there you have your main differences. They're just this very similar candy made by two different corporations.
Okay. So I just looked it up. So yeah, I'd never heard of, I've heard of Reese's Pieces, not peanut butter M&Ms. That says here that the difference between these two treats is in the chocolate, or the fact that Reese's Pieces don't have any chocolate at all. It's funny because whenever I eat Reese's Pieces, you always expect to find some chocolate between the shell and the peanut butter. I'm always shocked when okay, so that one has chocolate and one does not.
That's interesting. Because, like, isn't the whole Reese's, like, their brand is peanut butter and chocolate?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't your Reese's Pieces? Anyway, I mean, this question has already gone off the rails, but I will say, Brian, stay tuned. We are going to be, we're recording this on October 30th, so the day before Halloween, but we are recording our candy draft rankings. The three of us made a bet regarding Sidney Crosby's point totals. Up until this point, we will get into that when we record our candy draft ranking later tonight, the 30th, and that will go live on Halloween as well. So you will get to hear our in-depth takes on the best candies in the world. So Brian, for that question, stay tuned. And with that, we will go to question four, back to Robbie. What's the most surprising thing to start the season this year? Vegas, Colorado, Boston's hot start, Edmonton's slow start with McDavid's injury, Ovechkin only having 2 goals in 7 games at the time of Brian asking this question. Robbie, what is the most surprising thing to you as the season enters November?
Yeah, a couple early surprising teams. Vegas, I mean, getting points in 9 straight games is impressive. But again, we knew Vegas was going to be stacked to start this coming into the season. So that's not a huge surprise. I will say Boston, though, I was still on the, they're still going to be pretty good team. But to see them start out on just absolute fire winning seven of their first eight, and that eight and that one loss coming in an overtime. So they have points in their first eight games. Coming on absolute fire. So Boston is definitely up there. Who else? The San Jose Sharks, we knew they were going to be bad, but, this is bad, bad. They are on pace. I saw somebody tweeted out today that right now they are on pace this season for 9 points, which obviously they're not going to continue that pace, but they do not have a win through nine games. They only have 1 point. Absolutely dreadful. Edmonton and Calgary, I had to put in that mix as well. And another team out west, Seattle, who I think everybody figured was going to build off last season and not necessarily take out like a Vegas or something, but they've been mired in the mud through the opening stretch of the season, almost the first month of the season now. So expected more out of Seattle. As for individual performances, Ovechkin, at some point it was all going to slow down. Washington not being a very good team.
That's a bad team in Washington.
Yeah, it's a mess in Washington right now, and I don't see it getting much better this year. I think they're going to be big sellers as we move into the playoff stretch. A guy that maybe right now is the front runner for the Art Ross and maybe even the MVP. Jack Hughes knew that he was going to be have a great season, but he is tearing up the league right now. And really, New Jersey's playing great hockey as well. But Jack Hughes is kind of taking that next step into the elite tier of NHL players and becoming the player that he was projected to be. It's just kind of when they take that step, you expect it, but when it all comes, it's still kind of takes you back a little bit. Question number five from Brian here again. What goes into choosing what gear a player uses? Is it the hand feel, the weight, or the weight of the product?
That's a really good question. And it's, one of those typical questions. I think it probably differs from person to person. I could probably only really speak for myself and my friends and how they go about choosing their product. But weight and hand feel is definitely right now everything is getting lighter. Everything's lighter than it was 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. The less weight, the quicker your hands, the quicker the shot, the less weight on your gloves, the lighter the skates, the faster, it's all about weight is a huge thing right now for sure. I think it's also, there's probably like more products being tested right now than like there's so many new developments to so many different products. Like Bauer has really been pushing like a whole, like they're kind of like the leaders, I think, right now. And like just experimenting with cool new stuff. Not so much like maybe back in like the late 90s when like two piece sticks were like a thing. And the one piece was kind of it feels like the Wild West right now, even with gear. There's so much cool new stuff coming out. Also, it's like kind of, I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing, but like who are like the pros that are like endorsing or using or testing these products? Like there's this new company out right now called Tovey Hockey. Have you guys seen anything from them? So they're a one piece stick, but their blade is completely like, it's like a grid. It's like completely perforated. So air goes through the blade. And I saw them pop up over the summertime and I was just like, that looks like the dumbest stick ever. How is that? Like, how could you snap a puck around with that thing? It looks fragile. But then sure enough, Charlie Coyle on the Boston Bruins, he's testing out one of their sticks and using it in games. And apparently they announced that some NHLer is also trying out one of their sticks. So that brand going from like a startup brand with like 300 followers on Instagram to now having two NHLers using it, and people are going to start it'll spark curiosity. So it's like the pros that are maybe even like using and endorsing products. It's like when you're growing up, it's like for me, Aginla always had like a silver Easton Synergy. Like what did I want? A silver Easton Synergy. So who's using it? and just it's like whatever is kind of new and cool and coming out, you know, people are going to have their old reliables and their favorites. Like they still make the Lidstrom curve, like with the square toe on the end. Like that's something that's still being produced to this day. So and that's got his name attached to it. So who's using it? And yeah, just kind of like funky, cool new stuff will always spark the market. Question number six here from Brian. If you could undo one trade in Penn's history, what would it be? Really heavily considering Horney or Hags as my answer, but will say McCann. Whew, that's a spicy meatball, boys.
McCann definitely, I don't want to say it's recency bias, but McCann is on that, definitely on the list of worst Penguins trades of all time. I don't think he would be super, maybe not super high, but we talked about the Sergei Zubov trade last week. And I think before we've mentioned the Marcus Naslin trade to Vancouver. So I think even though it was before my time, I was doing some research into some of the worst trades in Penguins history. And it's almost like a general consensus that the Penguins gave up on Naslin way too quickly. They were frustrated with him for the lack of production that he had given the Penguins, but for him to basically go be a perennial all-pro in Vancouver, that was just a sour mark on the Penguins of the early to mid-90s. What could have been, he obviously goes to resurrect his career out west. But yeah, in terms of recency bias, with me being a younger fan, that McCann trade, I mean, he's gone on to be a stud in Seattle. When he was traded, when McCann was traded, he had garnered that reputation of being a quote unquote streaky player. But even when he was traded, I still was infuriated because he gave the Penguins would kill to have Jared McCann. Let's put it that way. They would kill to have Jared McCann right now. Right now, with how bad the bottom six is, McCann could play a top six or bottom six role. He was incredibly versatile. They would absolutely kill to have his services, but good on Seattle for taking a chance on McCann. He has successfully resurrected his career and become one of the more dependable forwards for that Seattle Kraken group. But yeah, for my money, I'll go with the general consensus pick. That would probably be the Marcus Naslin trade, maybe the Jaromir Jagr trade to the Washington Capitals when the Penguins were in pretty dire straits and Jagr did not really want anything to do with the Penguins at that point in the late 90s. But I'll say Naslin as we move on to question seven. We go to Robbie here. Question seven comes from Brian. This is a very interesting hot button topic right now, you guys. Do you want to see Mike Sullivan make changes to his system? The team having older legs and such a hard-pressing forecheck and wanting them to play with so much speed might be contributing to the early season struggles. Does a system change or a scheme change make sense?
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I don't think coaches just up and change their own system, adapt it maybe, but to say change it, coaches, I mean, they come in with a system in mind and a system they've used basically through their entire career with changes here and there. So, I mean, adaptations of the system, sure, but to say that they need to go away from a hard-pressing forecheck and wanting to play with speed, I don't think that fits anything that Mike Sullivan has ever shown as a head coach with the Pittsburgh Penguins. I don't think there's really any way to just flip a switch to a system that might be more in tune with an older roster. So adjustments, I mean, there's definitely adjustments that can be made, and that's what a good coach needs to do, as long as the players buy into that as well. But to change a whole system isn't really possible without a different coach. You kind of saw that with back when the Penguins fired Michel Therrien in 2009 and replaced him with Dan Bylsma, who brought in a completely different system, a more forechecking, open speed system as compared to Therrien's suffocating defense, suffocating neutral zone kind of system. Again, it's just a complete system change that was more adaptable to what the Penguins were at that time, that let the superstars kind of fly free and use their skill to win hockey games. So to get a complete system change, I think it would take a different coach, but I believe a good coach needs to adapt his system to what he has. So more adaptations than just a full system change, in my opinion. Question 8 from Brian here again. Did any of you guys check out the Frozen Frenzy? I definitely could see this really working.
Yeah, I watched the Frozen Frenzy. I thought it was a success. It was awesome. I had a feeling it was going to be good. I mean, I just love watching hockey, so ended up being a I think a success. And I think something just to add on to that, it's like they should make that like a day, 2 or 3 times a year, like have like a Frozen Frenzy weekend or something. It was on a weekday this year, wasn't it? I think they should make that like a weekend thing, like have like it'll never be like a Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm not trying to really compare it to that, but like some sort of event where you can just marinate on your couch and watch hockey from morn till night. I heard people that were involved with it, like I think I heard Kevin Weeks and Buchagross have since commented on it, and other podcasts, and everyone loved it. So I only see it becoming a more of a thing, and maybe even more frequently. The schedule is planned this year. I think the deals are in place with networks and whatever. So probably not going to see it again this year, but it's going to be kept in mind for next year, and hopefully maybe they make a bigger deal out of it. I wouldn't mind seeing make a little more of a spectacle out of it. Question number 9, say Connor Garland to the Pens happens. What do you think we send back? Raquel.
Honestly, that's not a bad idea, because you're going to have to send out at least one contract with term on it. Garland is in the middle of a 5-year deal? 5-year deal with a cap hit of $4.95 million. So he signed through the 2025-26 season. I think Garland can play either wing. He's a right-hander by trade, 27 years old, 5'10", 165. I think he doesn't really – let me pull up his statistics here. 8 games played this year, 1 goal, 1 assist. So not off to the hottest start. But it's hard, because while I agree that Raquel would make sense, are you fixing a problem by trading away Raquel? Like, Garland, because Raquel would leave, then, okay, who are you going to put in that right wing slot? Are you going to put Garland there? Is that going to be an upgrade to the top 6? I'm more concerned with an upgrade to the bottom 6. Going back to Brian's previous question about whether you need to change Sullivan's system, I still think that the Penguins, even with their older bodies, can succeed playing an aggressive forecheck kind of game, but they don't have the personnel to match it. And Kyle Dubas, when he came in, basically reconstructed that entire bottom 6. To his credit, he did away with just about every mistake Ron Hextall made. But I think it's clear now, as we hit almost 10 games that the players that he brought in aren't having the desired results that maybe he thought they were, because you have two really top heavy offensive lines. That bottom six is focusing on defense and defense first metrics. And you can see it night in and night out now. There's ample evidence that when the top six isn't scoring, you're not going to get offensive production from the bottom six. So bringing Connor Garland in, it would be beneficial if you could put him in a top nine role, maybe on the third line. So, again, to Snail's point, if you take Ricard Raquel out, you know, you're basically swapping that contract for Garland. That doesn't really... My issues lie with the bottom six, not the top six. So, but you know, you don't have a ton of value to give away anyway. You could probably give Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin maybe a couple draft picks, but my issues are going to remain with that bottom six and the lack of offense that they produce. Would I like Connor Garland? Absolutely. But Snail, do you have something to add?
I was just going to say, let's be honest, it'd be kind of a lateral move. It's like two shot top six players that are off to really slow starts, and it would just be a mix-up, change of scenery thing. That's all I was kind of wanted to add.
Yeah, I agree. It would be a lateral move. Right now, that wouldn't change anything, at least in my opinion. Question 10, go back to Brian here as we go back to Robbie. Robbie, are you surprised Ty Domi never played in Pittsburgh with how close he is to Mario Lemieux?
I think I'm more surprised that Max Domi has never played in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. even if you take the Mario equation out of it, it feels like Max Domi's one of those players that's been tied to Pittsburgh for like his entire career now. But I mean, Domi was a rough and tumble guy. The Penguins did not really play his style during Domi's peak. The Penguins were a run-and-gun team. Now, Ty Domi had some good years, but friendships, I mean, there's a lot of guys in the NHL are friends. Nathan McKinnon's good friends with Sidney Crosby. If Nathan McKinnon wants to come play with Sidney Crosby, hey, I'm more than fine with it. But I think I'm more surprised that Max Domi has never played in Pittsburgh, because every time his name does come up with the Penguins, there is always a mention of Ty Domi being friends with Mario Lemieux. So I think I'm more surprised on the Max Domi front, but hey, you never know what can happen in the future. But I'm going to go with not really surprised that Ty never played in Pittsburgh, but kind of surprised at this point that Max has never thrown on the Skating Penguin sweater. Question number 12 from Brian again here. What's one vegan option you'd suggest the boys try that they'd be surprised it was vegan?
I don't know. Have you guys ever tried Beyond or Impossible Meat? You have?
I have not.
I think it's really good.
You think it's good? Do you think there's good, but there's also convincing? Do you think it's convincing that, like, if you were to be fed it blindfolded, would you question whether it was meat or not?
Maybe, but my palate is not that refined. So I would say,
God, I don't know why I asked that.
I'm no Gordon Ramsay kind of food tester, but either way, yeah, impossible or beyond, how are the fancy buzzwords, but either way, yeah, I think I've had impossible burgers before from a bunch of different places, just, you know, on a whim, just because, you know, I'll try it. I'll is it really healthier? I don't know. Maybe, but like, I walked away very impressed. Like, I've ordered Impossible Burgers multiple times now because I think they're actually pretty good.
Okay. So, I mean, I would probably, those are like the easy ones to recommend, like, or to like recommend you try to see if, you know, as far as convincing, like whether it's animal product or not. It's kind of funny. All these like big, super just like non-vegan brands are making like some of the most like convincing, like there's chocolate bars out now, like milk chocolate. I've had some like Hershey's milk chocolate bars that are just so good, and they're so cheap too. I was at the grocery store not that long ago and I bought 12 of them. They're $2. If you guys are ever curious, I would be more than happy to suggest a laundry list of products that I wouldn't be trying to necessarily get one over on you, but I'd be like, this is actually like a quality product. And yeah, like what Garrett mentioned, there's like, if you're trying to be health conscious, that's a different list. But if you're looking for convincing food that tastes like an animal product, and you're maybe just trying to eliminate that for, like, people do Meatless Mondays, and it's like, I don't know, have you guys heard of that, Meatless Mondays? Some, they try to, it's like a little bit of a trend that happens every once in a while. Like, if you ever were interested in doing like a Meatless Mondays, I could send you a simple recipe that could eliminate animal product, and it would taste, I don't know if it's person to person, I couldn't say if it would taste better, but for me, it fits the bill, and it, you know, it satisfies the palate. So Beyond's doing a good job, Impossible, and there's a bunch of others. Like Kroger has their own meatless, like, chicken nuggets. They have a whole meatless line, like Kroger does, Safeway does, Whole Foods, their 365 brand. It's, in this day and age, it's actually super easy to be vegan if you're looking to just substitute all the good stuff, because there's never been, there's no shortage of products in anything. So, but yeah, you got to give props to some of those bigger brands like Hershey's or whatever, or Beyond and Impossible, because they're really killing it. If I have one, Beyond makes steak tips. They make these vegan steak tips. They're crazy. When I cook them up, it's like, dude, that it's like, just the visual of it, it's like, dude, that's me. It looks like carne asada. So anyways, we'll move on. But a lot of products that are doing, a lot of companies that are doing a really good job with their products lately. Okay, so the last question is from Brian yet again, and he asks, would you rather live without the internet or without bathing?
All right, so this is going to be the roundtable one as we wrap up part one of the mailbag. Oh, boy. I don't think in 2023 you can't live without the internet. I at least, it's so, I mean, obviously you don't want to live without the ability to bathe, because that's just gross. But we rely on the internet for everything. Like, I rely on the internet to do my job. So
that's what Bill Gates wants you to think.
It worked for the people in The Walking Dead, but then I'm like, you know, they probably found a stream every now and again to like clean themselves up, and I'm sure they found, you know, bars of soap and convenience stores from going from point A to point B. So, you know, because the internet is so important, I will take the gross approach and I will say I would rather not bathe and have the internet. So who wants to go next?
I'll go ahead and go. I'm going to... That's super tough, because, like, I want to be able to be like, I don't need the internet. Like, maybe my life would be better without the internet. I'm so burdened by this attachment to my phone and computer and everything, and streaming shit. But it's like, I don't know. I feel like 1 week into this experiment, I'd be like, dude, screw bathing. Give me like fucking TikTok back. I don't know. I'm choosing the internet.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's disgusting to think, like, these aren't two equal, like, choices either. Like, the internet is completely a part of your daily life that you need. It's a necessity. Bathing, I mean, it is gross just to think about. I guess I'd rather live without bathing if I had to. I mean, that'd be disgusting. I don't know. That's just what I'm going with. It's it's just weird to think about, because, I mean, yeah, it's just, I mean, you know what body odor smells like after a day. Just imagine never being able to bathe. We have all this technology. We are not living in like the dark ages. We don't have to, like, thankfully we don't have to do without any of these things.
It's weird though, because like up until like the late 70s, early 80s, like, people, the internet was like not a thing. So people were living without the internet, and I'm sure that, you know, they were bathing. So, like, but, you know, the world has changed so drastically in the last 40 years since the internet became so widely available, and we rely on it for everything now, which, again, makes the question harder, because obviously there was a time without internet and people got along just fine without it. But now it's like, you need the internet for just about everything. So, yeah, I'll take the internet over bathing.
Yeah, internet. Like, our ancestors are just like just frowning upon us. They're like, come on, you dirty scoundrels, but whatever. Hey. Internet, dude, I couldn't watch Penguins games. And that's really important to me.
Exactly. That's the most important thing in life. Well, we get through part one of this week's mailbag, like I mentioned at the top of the show. Part two of the Skating Penguin Network mailbag will be coming at you fine folks later in the week. For Snail, for Robbie Noggle, I have been Garrett Behanna. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to all of you again.